now approaching. Junction at platform. Passengers, airport, please stay on board. Next stop, road station.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello there. Welcome to a very special episode of Wine Times. I'm Annika Rice.
And I'm Will Lyons.
And why is it special, Will? Tell the listeners where we are and what we are doing.
Well, we're perched here on the top of the news building, overlooking the River Thames. And it's a fabulous tasting because it's the columnist case. So it's 11 wines or 12 wines picked by some of our most opinionated columnists. I think we're calling it the most opinionated wine case.
I mean, Jeremy Clarkson and Giles Corran rest my case.
You've got Mike Atherton selects a leafy Cabernet Sauvignon from the Kudawara. But I loved Alice Thompson's. I think you did as well.
Because she chose a wine that came from the vineyard right next to the Chateau Neuf du Pape. Same soil, same gnarly old olive trees. Yeah. Half the price. Oh, God. What was it, half the price or quarter for the price?
Quarter of the price. I better mention my editor, Tony Turnbull, with that wonderful Viognier from the Western Cape, which, do you know, I was going around chatting to readers and subscribers, and it went down very well. It could be the wine of the night.
Well, it was very exciting, I have to say. I've drunk quite a lot, actually. Will's still only blinking well sipped. I thought you could have had a Christmas swallow. Oh, sorry, that sounds...
It was fun speaking to some of the columnists and some of the guests, wasn't it? Getting their opinion.
It was lovely. And I think they really appreciated the columnists kind of... people just don't want too much choice. I talk as a punter.
Well, it's so overwhelming.
I'm overwhelmed by wine, which is why I'm so thrilled to be doing this podcast and talking to, I mean, there were hundreds of people here tonight, and they all feel that overwhelming feeling of too much choice.
And you were very kind to indulge my two passions when we spoke to Martin Samuel, which is football and wine.
Yeah, that went on a bit, but whatever.
Sorry about that.
Anyway, well, should we just crack on, as they say, on Love Island?
Absolutely.
We really enjoyed the Split Rock. It was very fruity, really light, an easy drinker, I'd say.
I like the Malbec. Used to live in Argentina. It triggered something in my brain. It was very dry, not overpowering. I'm going with the Malbec.
For me, it's the Primitivo. Love Italian wines, Southern Italy particularly. And it was a very, very nice and very enjoyable wine.
And actually, I like the Côte d'Aron, but I like Côte d'Aron, and it's a very nice example.
I think Jeremy Clarkson's recommendation, yes, it's a nice little rosé, very refreshing. Yes.
I think the Malbec was excellent, but Jeremy Clarkson's was excellent as well.
My favourite is the Catbird, the Cabernet Sauvignon 21. I like the name, I like the label, and I like the taste.
Well, hello and welcome.
Come and join us so that we don't feel quite so isolated.
Countdown to Christmas starts here, the top of the news building.
Thank you for coming, everyone. Lovely sunny day today. Cold, but I'm glad that you've come to our drinks party because we're treating it a bit like
advent. It's, you know, the kick-off advent with a few drinks.
So you're obviously all here because you're avid supporters of the Sunday Times Wine Club, which is celebrating 50 years.
50 years.
Which is quite... You really don't look like you're 70. It's amazing.
I was born in 76. So the Wine Club had been going, let's work it out, 3 years since then. But I think what's great about the club, it's never lost sight of the social aspect of food and drink. You know, opening wonderful bottles with friends and family and just not taking it too seriously. Just sort of conviviality is a word I love to, you know, in the ethos of the Sunday Times Wine Club. You know, what we're doing tonight, getting people together. And we have for you the most opinionated case in the world. We've invited 12 of our columnists, our top columnists, sports writers, political writers, food writers, to pick their favourite wines.
So look who we found, Giles Corran.
Giles Corran. He's holding a glass of his choice, which is the Garvey di Garvey by Villa Brelia. So we're heading to Italy, to the foothills of, well, to sort of Piemonte, aren't we?
I don't know where we are.
But what I love is there's a huge socking grate photo of you, you know, so people can gaze at you, Giles, and then it says fruity, but not too fruity.
Yeah, I know. I am though, aren't I? I wrote a really long epithalamium, is that the word?
Yes, to you my did. Wine. Yeah.
And it just, all they've got is fruity, fruity not too fruity. Fruity.
We love that.
And it was so romantic. It was all about sort of the sunset going down on the River Dart, down in Devon with your family, wasn't it? It was beautiful.
Yeah, well, when they very kindly...
that's when I last saw you in Devon.
Did you?
Do you remember in that restaurant?
Oh, yes.
Gosh.
Was that the seahorse?
Sorry, that's such a digression.
I know.
But we suddenly saw the Corran family.
Must take you quite a long time to get your 3-minute things recorded. Yes. No. So I was down in Devon when they very kindly sent me a case of wine to make my columnist choice from. And they said, what sort of things do you want? And I said, I wanted Gavis and Albarinos and Pickpools and stuff. Because I thought around about that sort of in the summer, if I was going to be sent down a case of around about that sort of price point, I thought what I wanted was sort of fruity whites. And I like the Albarino and I like the Gavi and I like the other one.
But I think they're actually good for Advent, those sort of light, refreshing whites, because at this time of year, it is a whirlwind of cocktail parties. We've got one to get going on tonight. And you need something to lift the mood, and that's not going to be too heavy. You want wines with vitality, especially as you get older. I've always found this. I used to do a lot of book learning, and Hugh Johnson was always writing about the benefits of acid in wine and how acidity was great. And I never really understood what he meant, but actually now I'm older, you know, you'd love that sort of tangy hit you get from a Garvey or an Albarino.
At this time of year, it's an excellent morning wine. You know what I mean? When you wake up when you've had far too much claret the night before, or Rioja, heavy tannic things, and you get up and you want something fruity with a little bit of zest in it.
Fruity, but not too fruity.
Yeah, I think of it as kind of breakfast. Yeah. Breakfast
drink. Wasn't there a lovely other thing you wrote, which obviously hasn't made the strap line, was holidaying in Santorini? Or have I made that up completely?
No, well, I went on my honeymoon to Santorini.
Did you?
Yeah, so I think I did also say there was a Greek wine in there. Because Greek wine used to be, as recently as my honeymoon in 2010, Greek wine was still a bit, this country, thought of our Retsina, it's okay with a sort of calamari. Yeah. But in Santorini, they have amazing wine. And when I went on my honeymoon there, they said, oh, have some of the local stuff. I went, no, it's my honeymoon, I want something French. and then I started drinking that Santorini wine
The wine there is a white wine called Assyrtiko, and it's a little like a Chablis, but it's got this wonderful sort of salty tang. Because, I mean, the island of Santorini raises up like an iceberg, doesn't it? And I think the salt, I actually think that this is what happens, that the salt comes in off the wind. It's very windy there.
You have mentioned this so often on our podcast, is the influence of the sea and salt on the wine.
But is it real, Will? Because people always say, I love a Manzanilla,
real,
and people always go on about Manzanilla, it's kind of salty. And is it like salty, literally, really saline, or is it a kind of a whiff of the
way
sea?
He describes it, it's like there's a gale blowing off the sea and this salt just flooding
the glass.
It's
a little like sodium, but there is, and you get it with Islay whiskey, and you can taste it in those Assyrticos from Santorini. And I have to say, I was there the other day. I was getting a bit of winter sun.
Did you go back to the very same honeymoon suite that Giles... Oh, sorry, let's not go there.
Well, I don't know. Conceived my daughter Kitty in that suite. Oh, an awful lot of Assyrtiko.
Joys.
Paid 20 euros for 2 coffees. That's all I know. Yeah.
Fruity, so, but not too fruity.
20 euros would get you a bottle and a half of this in the morning instead of a coffee.
So that's wonderful. So the great variety is Cortez. What I like about Garvey, it has that sort of nuttiness, that almond nuttiness, savoury. And, you know, you spend your life going to restaurants, Charles. This would go well with sort of risottos, wouldn't it?
Do you know, it's sort of with everything. The reason in that sort of pale, fruity, slightly sort of, I think of it in the same way as sort of things like an Albarino, which if you're, I'm often eating 12 different things in a meal. And I don't want to have a flight of wine with all these different bottles around the place. So something like this, until you get to the meat right at the end, it's fine with all your kind of fish and salads and all the little bits and pieces and picky food. And
also something really simple, like sort of bruschetta just with olive oil, which is actually quite hard to pair, but that would, it's got the acidity to pair with the tomatoes.
It's a hit from Will. Well done, Charles.
Yeah, great.
You've made a good selection.
Hey, I was waiting for my marks out of 10.
Thank you. I'd say 10 out of 10. Giles Corran, you know, fruity, but not too fruity.
Off air, I did say that I think Giles has probably got the wine of the night, but we don't know. We're going to
say that off air.
Yeah, we're going to say
I notice I am the only expert. I mean, I look at Martin Salmon, he's a good man, he knows his football. Mike Atherton, I mean, you know, that rear guard action against the South Africans was amazing. But I mean, for choosing a wine.
Thank God, we're very grateful to have you, frankly, to give us some.
So we're here with the great Martin Samuel, chief sports writer for the Times, coming up for a 1-year anniversary with us, aren't
you? Yeah, next January. Yeah.
And
next
you January. Opted for a delicious Annika. It's it's a delicious wine from the south of Portugal.
Oh, we've so enjoyed Portuguese wines on our podcast. Mm. I'm thrilled you've chosen one from Portugal.
Yeah, I've got quite a few at home, which I have imported. It's getting harder and harder.
This is sort of a rich, I mean, it's like a full throttle wine, isn't it? Rich, yeah, ripe.
We came back from Portugal and we were trying to mess about recreating this wonderful thing they do with rice in Portugal, where you sort of scorch it in the bottom of the pan and it's sort of almost blackened and everything. And so we were trying that night, and so we were working our way through these wines, and you almost didn't want the sort of cliche of the best thing with it was the Portuguese wine, but it was.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you mentioned the sort of full-bodied aspect of it, which is what I loved.
You would love this.
Oh my God,
wine.
Would I?
So it's south of Lisbon, from the Teo Estuary, but the great variety is Touriga Nacional, which they make port with.
Yeah.
But instead of stopping the fermentation so it's sweet, they ferment it dry. But it's rich and opulent, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was just trying to think, if it was a football player, who would you liken it to?
It's very robust.
It's very robust.
One of those sort of burly strikers.
Sorry, I'm boring Annika with my football.
No, it's fine. I can do a bit of, you know, George Best. It's about the last footballer I remember.
There we go.
Yeah, there you go.
You can't beat a current reference.
I was thinking this is a bit like Berbatov. He was a very sort of silky player.
That's it.
Silky player.
It's silky, but he can put it about a bit if he needs to. You know, that sort of Mark Hughes.
Yeah, the Mark Hughes.
You mentioned the port there. That's the only time when we've been filming and recording our podcast that I've seen Mr. Will Lyons swallow.
So I don't... I spit.
He usually just spits.
Right, okay.
He got the rosé port that we tried with Clark Peters.
Yes.
Couldn't get it off you.
Annika,
you rolled home.
It's an interesting point here because...
You rolled home.
I love sport. Like, you know, do you ever get bored of watching football? Because it's a bit like me with wine. I've got so many wines to taste. I have to spit. Otherwise, I'll be drunk the whole time.
We've only got three tiny little sips to have one recording.
But there was one recording we did when I went off afterwards. I didn't tell you about this.
Yeah, okay.
And tasted nearly 200 wines at a wine tasting.
Because,
you know, it's just a busy day.
Anyway,
he
swallowed the port. So
it's a bit like, if you go to a football match, if you go for leisure, can you just relax and watch it?
If you can go for leisure, you can relax. You can't relax if you're working. People go, oh, I bet you're looking forward to this. And you'll go... Yeah, but actually what I'm looking forward to is the Wi-Fi working and meeting the deadline and having enough room in the press box and making sure your seat hasn't been taken by someone who's refusing to move and all of this other logistical stuff that no one would actually sort of care about.
And then you've got to really concentrate on the game to make sure
they
don't miss
anything. On the game. So what people think is great fun, like last minute goals and stuff, it's an absolute nightmare if you're trying to report it.
Get your elbow out of my
Annika.
It's a bit like when you go to a tasting and there's 200 wines and the first thing you think when you arrive is, wow, this is incredible.
I know.
But actually, you've got to be focused because you've got to find those wines.
I know. I try and be focused, Will, but already I'm eyeing up the Negroni. There's a whole Negroni counter.
Really?
Yeah.
You see, one of my lads, that's his favourite drink.
Give him a call. I need someone to Negroni with.
And is Portugal a place where you go on holiday every year?
We go to Cascais, just north of Lisbon, and like that enormously. Not every single year, but you know. And so we it's a great part of the world because you can get the little train into Lisbon, so half of your holiday can be spent around the beach and around the seaside, and the other half you go into one of the great cities of Europe.
Well, there's a great Portuguese manager who loves his wine, isn't there? Jose Mourinho.
Oh, yeah, and Jose. And first time he ever took a bottle of red to Alex Ferguson, and Alex was completely dismissive of it or whatever. So ever since he's gone back, it's always, I'm trying to think of the most expensive, the great ways of Vegas.
Well, that's Spanish. But when he was manager of Oporto, this chap, was it Jose Mourinho, that there has been a boom, a bit like his boom, you know, in terms of football. But the whole of that region has come up. And now you can, as you know, you can spend up to €200
But talking about Alex Ferguson, we had Angus Deaton as one of our guests.
Wow.
Obviously, he's a great Man U fan. And he was saying that Alex really knows his wine. And the two of them have a history of wine purchasing. Sometimes not too successful.
Kenny Dalglish knows his wine as well. I mean, a lot of these Premiership footballers have got into wine.
Absolutely.
It lends itself to it.
Particularly, you know, it's that convivial after the match thing of going into the manager's office and taking a bottle of wine and you know, it's very, very common.
I mean, it used to be a bottle of teachers, didn't it?
Yeah, sometimes.
But, you know, football's changed, everything's changed.
Well, thank you, Martin.
Thank you.
That was so lovely talking to you.
It's been wonderful.
Yes. Crack on with your tasting.
Yeah.
Is there a raffle? Have people entered a raffle? We have no idea. We have no idea because we've all drunk so much wine now, we don't know what the procedure is at all. So we found your boss now.
Yeah, we're here with the boss.
The big man, the cheese.
The great Tony Turnbull. This is a chap who every week goes through the column and extracts all the expensive bottles and says, you can't do that.
Well, he extracts them and takes them home, or what?
And says, you can't write about those, because you must remember that the average price of a bottle of wine...
I'm a great champion.
Leveller.
I'm a great champion for finding value, which you can do at every level, can't you?
Absolutely, you can.
That's always what I'm banging on about,
isn't
it?
Yeah, no, it's good. It works well.
Your readers will want guidance.
Yeah.
They don't want to be told to go and buy a fine wine.
In actual fact, you see, what I wanted to choose... I'm sorry if this is a bit off-message, but I wanted to choose for my columnist case was a sherry, a Fino sherry.
Ooh,
because Fino is, or sherry generally, I think is one of the best value wines around. It's very undervalued, and you can often get incredible complexity into very good, very well-priced bottles. So that's what I would probably have chosen with a free hand. But someone pointed out to me that the half bottle of sherry doesn't really look very good in the columnist case. So that had to go by the wayside.
The eye for the picture, you see.
Yeah. But at this time of year, a chilled glass of Fino from the fridge is actually very nice. You know, on those crisp days like we had today with the high skies.
So tell us what your selection is.
Well, in actual fact, so in the end, I went for the Queen Bee Viognier from the Western Cape, which I chose because, I mean, I do love the Viognier grape, and I like the fact it has a little sort of bit of peach and a little bit of apricot to it, so it's got a little bit of sort of fruit to it, but quite restrained. And what I liked about it is I felt that it would work. It's a sort of summer into winter wine, sort of thing which you could put on a Christmas table as well. It's got enough fruit there to sort of, you know, to merit its place on a sort of colder day. So I think it's a handy white to have in your cellar over Christmas time.
So
it'll
work
as well
with the Scrabble and the Roaring Log Fire as much as the barbecue in July? No,
well, I tell you,
not.
I tell you what it would work for in July, which is one of Tony's favourite dishes. It works very well with coronation chicken because it has that slight sweetness. And so Viognier's natural home is Condria in the Northern Rhône, and there it's quite sort of viscous and rich.
I wasn't allowed a Condria. I mean, that is my favourite all-time wine, is the Condria from the Rhône.
Sounds like you've been deprived of all your top
choices. It's a terrible business.
It's one of constant...
May I just go on record and say it's a time of constant deprivation as a food drinker at different times.
Is that here's Tony talking about value. Condria is one of the most expensive wines in the
I've gathered. Yes.
Yeah, I say I liked it. I didn't say I'd buy it.
Yeah, and it also goes well with crab as well, Viognier's. But you're absolutely right to go down to South Africa, because along with Portugal, those are the two great wine producing countries that are really good for value.
Yeah.
But with South Africa, it's at all price points, not just sort of £10 or below, or, you know, right up into the fine wine sector. In the context of fine wine, they are tremendous value.
I'm building up to that point when I feel I can actually FaceTime you and go, Will, yeah, what do I buy? Well, I mean, would we be able to buy this wine accessibly, yeah, or do we have to get our case?
This one's in the case.
In the case. Yep.
And the case arrives.
That case is good value as well.
Yeah.
And it's great. I'm going to give that case to everyone I know.
I know it's
Christmas.
Not a competition.
But it is, Tony.
But I'm hoping that my Viognier will actually be the most popular bottle within the case, because apparently it's one of the best-selling wines anyway from the Sunday Times Wine Club.
Well, why don't we go and try it tonight?
So I'm sort of, you know, I've got high hopes.
That'd be interesting.
There's a bit of competition here, isn't there, amongst the columnists?
Well, as long as I do better than Giles, that's all that matters.
Yeah,
or Chrissy.
I don't.
You can't usurp the editor.
I can only diss Giles.
I have to say, I like Chrissy, the editor's selection, a lot, because she said, I just want to crack open this, get a bag of crisps and watch University Challenge. Yeah. I just thought, I want to go round her house and do that with her immediately.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It's drinking for refreshment and enjoyment.
Yeah. What was her wine? Can't remember.
Hers was the Alvarinho.
Oh, yes.
The Alvarinho, which was interesting.
It's lovely, the Alvarinho.
And it's a blend from both Spain and Portugal. So in the top of your sort of northwest of the Iberian Peninsula.
And also the sea breezes again.
Yeah. But no, Alvarinho is a really good alternative to Sauvignon Blanc. A little bit more depth to it, a little bit more sort of savoury notes on the...
I was going to say the mid-palate, but Chrissy just said that she likes to have a glass watching telly and said University Challenge because she just wanted to sound really intellectual. You know, she didn't say Love Island, did she, or Strictly? Do you know what I mean?
Although I think it would go down very well with Love Island as well.
What would you choose for the Queen Bee?
What would I be watching?
Yeah, what would you be watching over Christmas?
I think the Queen Bee is a box set wine. Because then you can just like drink more and more of it.
Well, thanks, Tony. I suppose you've got to go back and edit some copy.
I've got this tricky little column from a chap called Will Lyons and he's licking into shape, so I must get off.
And I need to fire one as well.
Just remains for us to say thank you so much for coming and being such convivial guests today.
No, thank you very much. Cheers.
Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Well, that's it for today's episode. I hope you've enjoyed getting a behind-the-scenes taste of what has been a delightful evening. Top of Times Headquarters.
I love the way Will says that, as though you're going home getting a cab. I'm carrying on. I don't want to leave.
Oh, no, don't worry about that. I'm joining you. We're heading into the West End, aren't we?
I've had a most wonderful time, I have to say, Will. I don't think it's the wine talking. I've really enjoyed meeting everyone from the Sunday Times Wine Club. We're going to have a few thank yous, though. Thank you for listening to another edition of Wine Times. We love our loyal listeners. The series producer is Anya Pierce, and the producer was Callum McRae. We'll see you in the new year.
Cheers.
VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on. Settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books. Contacts. Calendar. Double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility. There's more to iPhone.
Rising sea levels, extreme weather patterns, extinctions of species. Our planet needs protecting. I'm Adam Vaughan, the environment editor for The Times, and this is Planet Hope from The Times, in partnership with Rolex and its Perpetual Planet Initiative. In this podcast, we hear from leading experts from around the world who are committed to finding solutions. These explorers, scientists, entrepreneurs, and citizens are committed to a common goal: to protect our home, Earth. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.